It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 298 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week, I'm back to a Kickstarter project, and this one's a real special one. It's called New and Improved, and it's put together by Tara Flynn and Anthony Spey. The premise of the book is really a great one. I always love a good sci-fi concept, and that's what's going on with this. There's lots of action, lots of drama, and some interesting characters that I think you're really going to enjoy. As I mentioned, there's a Kickstarter going on for it, and we get an update as to how that Kickstarter is doing. It will conclude by Friday, October the 20th at 3 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern Daylight Time, so be sure to get your pledges in now so you can participate in this really terrific Kickstarter. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show. It's great to welcome to the podcast Tara Flynn and Anthony Spey, the creators of a great book that I've read some of the preview to called New and Improved. Let's start out, Tara. How are you doing?
Great. How are you doing, Wayne?
Good. It's good to talk with you. And Anthony, how about you?
I'm great.
Good. It's good to talk with you guys. Now, I was a little puzzled before we started to record, and I just want to be sure let people know you guys are a working duo, shall we say.
Yeah, we're trying to join the ranks of Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor and the Simonsons and the Seejicks by being the married writer artist couple creator team.
See, I've got to get into that a little bit because I'm always fascinated because comics tend to be devoted to single groups, singles, and your story, you've got a single mother and a daughter.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That kind of stuff. So I have to ask, and we'll start, Anthony, I'll ask you first, is what's it like to work with your spouse on a comic book? What's that like for you?
Well, it puts a little extra pressure on you because you want to do an even better job than you normally could just because you don't want to disappoint your wife. And it's you're seeing him every day and, you don't want to do a weak job on it,
Okay. And Tara, how about you? I mean, as far as things go, because you're basically the writer and he's the artist, do those lines blur anywhere as far as, do you give criticism? And I mean, in a good way, as far as, how the art goes, as well as characters and stuff like that. How do you guys work that out?
Yeah, that's why, there's a little bit of the artist in me. I can't put it on paper, but I have a good eye for it. And there's a lot of, he also can write very well. So the lines definitely blur. When we sat down to kind of do the character designs, we went through, different characteristics and clothing styles and we really kind of worked together to create those characters together. And I think that for creators, that's even not married couples, that's just a team. That's where those lines blur is when you're creating those characters, because you really do need the artist to bring that vision to life. Mm-hmm. And of course, this is my first time writing a comic book. I've written some screenplays that have, just student kind of things back in the day. So I'm kind of familiar with the format, but he really helped guide me to kind of make sure that I was writing the script in a way that any artist could read it, not just him.
Okay. Now I got to ask Anthony, you've got experience in comics as far as artwork and stuff like that. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. I've been doing this professionally for going on 10 years now. I was the art director for Zenoscope for about 4 years, and doing that, I did a lot of editing and hired a lot of artists and did a lot of talent scouting, and I've been doing interiors and covers and different illustrations. I do the Marvel cards for Upper Deck and various other comic books. So I have plenty of experience. I have a couple of writing credits to my name. I wrote a couple books for Zenoscope while I was there as well. So, yeah, I have some experience. And
okay. So, Terry, you were saying this is your first time to work on an independent comic or something like that. Is this your first? You said you've written scripts and stuff like that for, say, movies or things. How are you familiar with comics? I mean, had you read comics before you two started working on this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've always been a big fan. You know, when I was young, it was the Tim Burton Batman movies that really kind of made me want to just, like, consume everything Batman related. I just obsessed with the villains from a very young age. And Anthony and I actually met at San Diego Comic-Con. So I was there, you know, on my own, you know, hanging out with a couple of my friends there when we met. So, you know, I was into the comic book scene before we even started dating.
I was wondering, was Anthony looking for talent and he found you? Was that how that happened?
Yeah.
So kind of thing. Now let's talk about this book, because it's got a really interesting concept. Before we get to that, I want to talk about how you guys came up with it. Whose idea was it? The start? Did you guys come up with it together at the same time? Talk about where this concept came from.
I'll tell you, the book is Tara's idea, and she brought it to me, and I liked it. And I mean, as far as the execution, I had some hand in that, and she gives me a lot of freedom if I want to, like, present something a certain way. But as far as the concept of the story, it was not my idea. It was all Tara's.
Oh, wow. So where did you get it from, Tara?
A friend of mine and I used to kind of play this game when we were at conventions and we were bored, which would be we would try and pitch each other the opposite idea of comic books. So you would have, you know, instead of Spider-Man, you would have a spider that was bitten by a radioactive human, just silly things. And I was trying hard really to think of what would be the opposite of The Walking Dead, something like that, you know, what would cause everyone to be like alive, but not moving around, like this sitting alive, something like that. And I just started playing around with ideas about immortality and how, you know, living forever could be a curse instead of, you know, a bonus.
Now, why don't you go ahead and tell us what the basic premise is about this? Because you describe it on the Kickstarter website, which we're going to get to in a second here. But I wanted to, because new and improved, of course, is a sales terminology. Everybody always likes to use that. But talk about what it is that this book is about.
So new and improved, like you said, that's a sales thing. It's kind of a play on words, because what has caused everyone to be immortal in this world is a health food craze. Some kind of food additive that the FDA really quickly threw approval on, and it got mixed in with everything, like antioxidants. Like when I was younger, I didn't know that I needed antioxidants. It wasn't like on my food. It wasn't in my shampoo. And now it's everywhere. And we all just accept that antioxidants are things that we need and they're good for us. But we don't really know why. So this food additive gets mixed in with everything. And it essentially turns the entire population immortal. They're unable to, they don't die. They don't age. They don't get sick. But they also can't heal. So they're kind of just biologically frozen in time. So that means if you get a paper cut, you have a paper cut forever.
Well, I like the one sentence description you have on the Kickstarter. It says, a single mother and her tenacious daughter fight for their freedom in a society where everyone is immortal, but few are invincible. And of course, that last part really gets me. So there are people who are invincible. I'm fascinated by that concept. Talk about that business about, because I saw this preview that you have out on the Kickstarter, and you sent me a copy of it, which I really liked. And I'm fascinated to know as to, like, what, I know you don't want to give away too much at this point, but as far as invincible people, let me just ask maybe, is there something that makes that happen as opposed to the people who are immortal, but you say can't heal?
Yeah, there's two essentially different kinds of batches that get out there. There's the batch that the majority of the population gets, and then there's this off-brand batch of the health food supplement that maybe wasn't regulated quite enough, and the mutation that it caused in other people makes them immortal, but also gives them kind of accelerated healing powers. So they have all of the power, but it's such a small group of people that have it that they're really even still trying to figure out what it was that caused it in the book.
Oh, wow. Okay. Now, my understanding is it's a 5-issue miniseries.
Yes.
That's what's going to happen. And this Kickstarter is for the first issue only. And as we're recording this, there's good news for you guys in the fact that you have already met your goal of $15,000 as we're talking about this. Congratulations are in order for that. Not everybody can do that. And a lot of people would like to know how in the world you got $15,000. You know, and what did you say you were telling me before we started record? 5 days? How did you guys do that?
Yeah, we
called in a lot of favors.
Well, with Anthony's following, we already had access to the people that follow him and are friends with him on Facebook. And throughout the years, I go to every convention that Anthony works at. And so we've kind of made a lot of friends in the industry, retailers and editors and things like that. And when you get endorsement and approval from retailers and things like that, the people who are going to be making money off of comics, the customers kind of trust them more. So we have some retailers who are literally already selling the comic in their store. They're pre-ordering them.
Oh, wow. A lot of the people we spoke to really do believe in the project, and they've helped push it. And you know, at this point, we're hoping it continues to catch on because we do believe it's a good book. So now that we're funded, hopefully the fact that it is actually a good and a high quality product will maybe stand on its own a little bit and keep driving some traffic.
Well, what I've read of it is really an interesting story. I mean, I don't know how much you want to talk about the giveaway of these good things, but let's just say it starts out with a really kind of gruesome thing that happens, you know, where we discover what's going on, and it happens in the most effective way that I can think of. Somebody gets injured, and in the process, they begin to notice that the healing process isn't taking place the way that it should. But I don't know how much you want to reveal about this, but why don't you talk a little bit about that initial sequence?
Yeah, sure. That's honestly, that's one of the first sequences that came to my mind was and I can talk about it because everyone's going to go to the Kickstarter and be able to read the preview there anyway. It starts with a couple of gentlemen who are going skydiving, and it's one of the jumper's first time doing a solo jump. Bjorn is his name, and he's been taking these supplements, and he's taking the like real organic supplements that are 100%. So it's not any kind of diluted dose of the health the food additive that he has. He's been exposed to it probably for the longest and the most amount. So he's one of the first where you really find out what's going on. Mm-hmm. So they're up in the sky and they do their jump and they're having fun, and Bjorn's chute doesn't pull.
Yikes.
So he hits the ground pretty hard. I did actually do a little bit of research to see if people can live from falling to the ground like that. And there are stories of people who have lived and had even less severe injuries than Bjorn did at that time. But they, you know, hit some trees on the way down, luckily. But Bjorn hits the ground full force.
Mm-hmm. So, I got to ask Anthony about that. What was it like to draw something like that? She did research on some of this stuff. Did you have to do that as well as what that might look like to those of us who are reading it?
Yeah, I did. And as gruesome of a scene as it is, it was a lot of fun to draw.
Oh, okay.
You know, I've done plenty of horror stuff, and drawing people all twisted up and mangled is in my wheelhouse. So that was enjoyable. But yeah, I did do some research. Actually, more of the research had to go into probably the skydiving outfits accuracy and the hospital room accuracy. I can pretty much come up with a cool way to show somebody getting all mangled up pretty easily.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, let's get into the characters. You mentioned a couple of them, Bjorn and the friend that goes skydiving with them. And you've got other ones. We mentioned there's Mallory and her daughter are involved. Now, as far as they go, Tara, did you come up with them based on people you know? Are they imagination-based? How'd you come up with these characters?
you know, a lot of the characters in the series are based on people I know, at least certain personality traits. Mallory's the main protagonist. She's a single mother, just a really kind of kick-ass woman, doesn't take any lip from anyone. My mom and my sister are not single parents, but they both are some really strong women that are very, very good moms. And I also remember what it's like, because her daughter is 13 years old. I remember what it's like being a 13-year-old girl. So her daughter, Charlie, she's probably like me when I was 13, just a brat, just a total brat.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and then the lead male, Gabe, who, we have one of the covers, which Mike Caprotti does. He's not in the first eight pages, but he is the lead male. He's personality is based on my best friend's husband.
Mm. Okay. Now I've got to ask Anthony, of course, what about appearances? I mean, if Tara based them on people she knows, did you also base what they look like on the real people?
A little bit. With Gabe, we did a little bit, but, you know, I know since I live with Tara and see her every day, all day, I know her thought processes a little bit. So when I read the script, stuff kind of automatically pops into my head. Like, I know what she's looking for, and I probably am thinking the same way with it. So I look up, I have an idea of what I want, and I might look up a reference of a person that I think fits the character, mm-hmm. So I have some consistency and a look throughout the book.
Yeah, the gentleman we use for Gabe's a Mexican actor named Eduardo Vestigue.
Yes.
And I'm hoping that if this ever does get to be a movie or TV show, that he's available, because he's just he was just a perfect description of the character before we even saw him. So, you know, being able to kind of use him for reference is pretty.
Yeah, the way she wrote it out and the way we talked it through beforehand, there was kind of looks that just fit the story and fit the characters that we're looking for.
Mm-hmm, which is cool. Now, I met you guys at Baltimore Comic Con recently, which was funny. And the part that entertained me very much was the fact that I was walking by and Tara noticed that I had a press pass on. And she called me over and she said, "Come here, we'd like to talk to you about our Kickstarter." And so I got started. Now, that doesn't normally happen to me. Usually I'm the one that initiates the contact. I go up to people and say, "What's your book about?" kind of stuff. But it was kind of fun that you actually brought the conversation to a start. And I like that. That's kind of something different from my experience. Now, during that conversation, you pointed something out to me that I really remember. And if you look at the cover of New and Improved Number 1, the main character's last name is Norris, and you talked a little bit about the choice of that at the convention. I wonder if you would like to share that with folks.
Yeah, that's actually kind of just like a little in joke. I'm actually terrible at naming characters, so the majority of the characters I just scrolled through my Facebook news feed and found names. But Charlie, who's the 13-year-old daughter, was a name that I had actually came up with and liked early on. Mallory, who's her mother, the story takes place in and around Los Angeles, and what Mallory does for a living, or did before the world completely went nuts, she was a stunt woman. And so they talk about how her father was in the industry and was a stuntman for a long time. So Anthony actually came up with the suggestion that we use the last name Norris, and that Charlie Norris is kind of an homage to her quote unquote grandfather.
It's not going to be super highlighted in the book, but if you read her jacket and see her last name on the jacket, you might pick it up and get a chuckle.
In joke.
He's not. I don't think he's going to make any appearances.
He might. If we can get him a copy.
Well, it'd be fun because Mr. Norris tends to be pretty popular with some folks. It'd be kind of fun to get him in there.
He's got a following.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Now, let's talk a little bit about, now you got five issues in this, and the first, we've seen a preview of it, and you're selling, people are already promoting it in local stores and things like that.
Yeah.
The first issue, is that, how much are you going to accomplish in the first issue? Are you going to set up a lot of stuff? Because you got five issues to tell a story. The one of the pages that really gets me, and this is why I'm asking this, was there's a page where the government is, it's basically said the government is handing out these pills and things, and people are becoming very docile as a result of it.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of fascinated because, you know, five people or five issues and docile people is going to be kind of a dull book. And yet I can imagine you've got a lot going on. Just first couple of pages I read, a lot of interesting stuff happens. So I guess it's going to focus on the main characters and how they get to know each other and what they kind of do.
Yeah.
As a result. So in the first issue, do you have a basic idea where we're heading? Or you may have scripted the whole thing out by now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the whole all five issues are written. The art for the whole issue number one is close to completion. But yeah, it's all completely scripted out for five issues. The first kind of story arc. You know, we're doing it as a mini series at first, but who knows what the future will hold. But you do get a complete story in those five issues, and it does. It focuses on Mallory and Charlie in their two different locations because Charlie's been captured by the government after they've found out the secret that Mallory and Charlie do have this ability to heal. They've taken Charlie, and now Mallory has to get her back while trying to not be captured herself. So she has to, you know, she finds a few other people and she teams up with people. And, you know, it's really character driven. You know, I like the world. I've set up this crazy world where, like, these, you know, these are the rules of the world. This is how things are right now.
And there's going to be spots in there that get a little deeper into it and highlight what's going on in the world at large.
But the story really, you know, is Mallory and Charlie and them finding each other and taking down the bad guys.
And there's a lot of things you can explore in this world with a future series if we wanted to go that direction.
Yeah.
Because I'm a little surprised. It sounds like she's taking these supplements based on what you're talking about, that she's actually taken some of them.
Well, everyone in the world kind of had, they had it pushed on them, fluoride in the water. The government decided that this food supplement was actually good. It was causing people to be healthy longer, and they didn't do as much testing as they should. And they started introducing it. There's a line in there that says that they're putting it in everything. They're putting in baby aspirin and sports drinks and everything. And, you know, go back to that antioxidants thing. I mean, my shampoo literally says it has antioxidants in it, and I couldn't tell you what an antioxidant is. But I feel like I should have more of them. I feel like they've marketed antioxidants to make you feel like, oh, I need to have a lot of these. But you don't even do the research. So people have kind of blindly trusted that what they've been fed is good.
Or not even thought about it.
Yeah, not even thought about it. If everyone's doing it, then why not?
Okay, that's there's a lesson in there. It sounds like as far as how we live our lives. So I'm kind of interested in that. Now, Anthony, I wanted to ask about the creative team because you have connections. I just wondered because you have a somebody who's doing the colors and doing the letters with you. Did you recruit those folks? How did you? Because you have you sound like you're the guy with the
I do know a lot of artists. And I, you know, from working with him as Zenoscope, you know, I've hired a lot of different people. But yeah, Leonardo, the colorist, is someone I've been a fan of. I've enjoyed his work on other people's books. I never had a chance to work with him myself until now. So he's a guy that I always wanted to work with. So I brought him on, and he's been great. He's incredibly enthusiastic about the project, which is awesome.
So fast and so amazingly
good. Yeah, he's really good. And Jim Campbell's a great letterer. I've worked with him many times. He's lettered for every company you can think of, and I trust him to do anything. So he's really brought it to another level. He's really solid. And
You know, lettering is something that I think doesn't get as much notice as it should. Like, if you look at Jim's lettering and how he's doing it, he's matching the tone of our book, and he's matching Anthony's lines to give them like the same, like the bubble outlines have the same kind of feel. You know, he really takes it to the next level and makes it an art.
And what I wanted to do is make this book as good and professional as possible. I'm a perfectionist. Tara's a perfectionist. If we're going to do this and spend our time and put all of our time and effort into this, we're going to make it as good as we possibly can. So I wanted to get the best possible guys that I believe in to help do it, you know?
Well, I have to point out one thing that says on the Kickstarter page about Jim Campbell. It says he knows more about print production than mortal man was meant to know.
Yes, he does.
And has also scanned more images than you've had hot dinners. Which that's unless you're 90 years old, it says on there. Yeah. So I got a kick out of that. Now, talk a little bit about other ones, too, because you got additional covers and artwork are provided by other folks. Talk about the process of getting them involved in the book and you know how you recruited these people.
They're people that we're friends with or are fans of worked with before that we trust. I mean, Mike Caprotti's a friend of ours. He's a great digital painter. He did stuff when we were at Zenoscope. He's done stuff with Rob Liefeld for Deadpool. Some Star Wars stuff, and he's a great artist.
Amazingly talented.
I've always wanted to have him do something with me. He did one project with me where he painted over my pencils. We did like a collaboration, which was really cool, but I knew he was a great artist on his own, so we brought him on.
Ariella Cristantina, who draws insects for Aftershock. Aftershock? Yeah.
Yeah.
I just love her work. She had inked back before she was really doing a lot of her own artwork. She had inked a cover of Anthony's. Mm-hmm. And then right after that, she blew up and she's just been, you know, doing her own interiors and covers. So when we were looking for people to do variants, I had to have Ariella draw my characters. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she had worked with me on the Vikings cover, and she's a SCAD graduate like myself, so I wanted to bring her on. I really like her work, and Brian, the Valenza, the colorist that works with her, has worked with her on those books before, and I was familiar with him because I've worked with him before as well, so he's a great guy to bring on. And
we have the other two, John Bergen, who we met at Heroes Con. He did a commission of a Nosferatu for me, and I just fell in love with his style, and I wanted to do, because I'm a huge Walking Dead fan, I wanted to do what everyone else does, which is the homage to the number one cover. I'm joining the ranks of every other Kickstarter I've seen, but I just had to have it for myself. And he really knocked it out of the park with that.
Yeah, he has a really cool style, and he's kind of new on the scene, I suppose.
Yeah, but he's going places for sure.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed his work, and I actually colored his cover and had fun doing that because I don't get to do that much coloring anymore. Yeah. So that was enjoyable, and
our friend Ryan Kincaid did our more exclusive kind of cover, coming from Anthony's, you know, experiences at Zenoscope. You know, you want to give people variants, you want to give people options and things like that. But Ryan did such a beautiful job, and Leo colored that piece too, just like on a white background, which is, I just think is like such a really neat kind of graphic almost cover.
Very cool. Now let's talk about some of the things. You've already met your goals, but people can still sign up for some of the rewards that you're giving. Which ones are? It looks like one of them has already gone through already. You can't do any more. And that's a good one to go through too. It looks like it's the $500 one.
We might be adding a few more.
Yeah. Okay. They sold out a lot quicker than we had anticipated, and I might add a couple more if I think I'm going to have the time to do them, because I like doing commissions for people, and especially like nice high quality ones like that. So if maybe I'll add a few more of those if people want those.
Yeah.
And we have a bunch of other commission levels. A lot of people like those sketch covers, like the blanks, and get the characters drawn on those. So
the $100 level where you get every single cover is the one that's the most popular. So I guess we did a pretty good job picking our cover artists because no one wants to pick just one. Everyone wants all five.
Well, because you got, according to this, at this time, of course, it may have changed by the time this post, you got 24 backers, which is a good thing to do with that amount of money. So
$100. Yeah.
I don't know why are the people that are fans of our book are big spenders.
we're very grateful.
I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I guess hopefully we're giving them a product that they think is worth it. So that's part of it.
But there's still so many rewards out there. I mean, at this point in time, they're not even really rewards. You're going to get them. You're going to get, for $10, we still have, you can get Issue one, free of shipping is free for $10, which is pretty much on par with, you know, if you were to buy a comic anywhere else and have it shipped to you. So you're definitely going to get that since we're funded.
Cool. Now, what about stretch goals? There are goals that we haven't already seen. You got some in mind for those?
We do. We in Baltimore, we got to talk to a few of our artist friends. You know, we're going to do like a mid-level where we're going to offer some stickers and things like that. But I guess this is narcissistic. I just want as many artists drawing my characters as possible. Mm. So we've asked Elias Chatzoudis.
Elias Chatzoudis.
As people would just know him as Elias Chatzoudis. He's a great cover artist, and he's agreed to do an art print for us, and at a different level, it might become another variant cover, or, you know, we have if we hit our stretch goals, we will eventually be able to just finish the entire series and at least give everyone the whole series digitally. Hmm. Printing a graphic novel, a lot more expensive, but at least being able to provide it in a PDF form so you can get the whole story.
Yeah, that's the goal now, is to achieve that level. Realistically, unless it goes crazy, getting to print all the graphic novels is going to be difficult. But if we can get to complete the artwork on the series and get everybody a full copy of the story, then at least they can finish the story.
Yeah.
Now, according to the Kickstarter page, it has to all. Of course, you've already met your goal, so this is just a little extra. But on October the 20th at 3:01 p.m. Eastern Time, let's see. I want to really quickly get up. October 20th is a Friday, which is always a good day to wrap up a Kickstarter and stuff. So yeah. You've got things going along. It's percolating real well. So yeah. I haven't put my bid in yet, my stuff, and I will definitely do that once we get done talking here. But I wanted to point out that I really thought that the writing and the art on this book is really strong. You know,
thank you very much.
I appreciate that.
The concept is really something I haven't read before, and I've been reading for a long time. I have to admit, I've been reading comics for quite a long time. I think also your art, Anthony, is really sharp and clear. I have trouble sometimes with indie comics, as much as I love them and I help out people with them. I do not particularly like every choice of art that they do in it, but yours has a very professional comic feel to it. So I think you guys make a great team as far as putting out what I consider to be a high quality book. I think it's terrific.
Thank you so much.
That means a lot. Thank you very much.
So let's say somebody doesn't get the opportunity to support the Kickstarter, how else can they get a hold of this book? Are there going to be other ways that they can access that?
Yeah, absolutely. We're using a company called BackerKit after the Kickstarter. What they do is they kind of do all of the organization and reach out to people whose credit cards are declined, all that kind of secretarial stuff that we won't really want to be focusing on at that point in time. Mm-hmm. But another thing they do is they offer like a pre-order page. So that'll be something that we announce where you can, when we're making our initial order, to fulfill the Kickstarter rewards, we're also going to put out pre-orders so that, you know, retailers or even individuals can order it on their own.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So that'll be good. So what about like a publisher? Have you guys considered approaching a publisher? And because it sounds like you're self-publishing this is what's going on.
You know, we did shop this around at first to some publishers, mm-hmm. But like a year and a half ago. Since then, we changed the art style. Like we had used a different art team before, and they were fantastic too, but they just weren't available when we wanted to do the Kickstarter. So we changed the art team, and I tweaked the story quite a bit based on some feedback that I had gotten from other editors. And we are talking, fingers crossed, to a few publishers.
Okay.
Ultimately, being able to go to a publisher with a completely finished series it's pretty easy for them to kind of take that risk, because all they have to do is plop their logo on it and stick it in Diamond and previews and see if it sells. Okay. And so hopefully we can get one of our dream publishers on board with that, you know?
We're definitely not against it. And if it's the right fit, we would go through a publisher, but these days it's pretty common, and you could be pretty successful doing your own as well.
Yeah.
So we're feel like we're in a pretty good position in that
yeah.
respect. You know?
It's a win-win no matter what happens right now.
I've got to ask a question. 5-issue miniseries. It sounds to me like you've got more stories to tell in this universe rather than just this one.
I do. Yeah, I have three more arcs kind of just loosely mapped out with the same characters in the same world. I'm not going to mention The Walking Dead again, but it really does kind of follow that kind of story pattern where you have these story arcs where you can they stand on their own, but they also tie all in together and keep that whole story going on its own.
Well, cool. Now, are you guys planning to keep working together? Are you going to do different projects with different people? Is it going to depend on the project? How are you guys going to do? Let's start with you, Anthony. What would you like to do?
I think it depends on the project. We do have another project that we have worked on together that we are thinking about developing right now. For now, we're both focused on New and Improved, and probably immediately following, whenever I'm done my work on there, I will be going out to do more freelance work, and Tara will be coming up with new projects as well. But I'm always, if we got a good project to work on, why wouldn't we do it together, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How about you, Tara?
Yeah, I mean, I have a couple different stories. I have one that, like Anthony said, we worked on together. That he may want to draw, or depending on time, we might get a different artist to draw the interiors.
But it's already characters are designed.
Yeah, the characters are designed, and it's
somewhere.
It's all scripted and plotted out for that. That series as well, although that's more of like a graphic novel kind of thing, less of a mini series. Mm-hmm. And but I have a few other stories out there. I have one story that I would love to find an artist that's more in line with like an anime kind of style to do, just because of the demographic it would be marketed towards is a I wouldn't say young adult, but like early 20s kind of crowd.
Yeah, there's certain stories that we both know I'm just not the guy for, you know?
Yeah. So, my supernatural romance is maybe not right up his alley.
I will be offended if she finds a different artist, and to be honest, I'll probably be helping doing it.
So. Yeah.
Okay, very good. Now, I met you guys at Baltimore Comic Con. Are you guys going to be doing more cons in the near future?
Yes, we're not going to be at New York. But we do have plans once this gets completely funded. Like I said, we've just been so inundated with this Kickstarter, and things are happening so fast that we haven't even gotten a chance to really, check with different conventions and see if they want to do any kind of giveaways or a free table or things like that.
Yeah, we haven't booked too much yet, but at the time I think we're going to probably finish this whole project is going to coincide with the beginning of next year's convention season.
Okay.
So I feel like we might actually hit the convention circuit a little harder than we usually do. I only do like 5 shows a year, but maybe next year we'll do a few more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You guys are doing great work. I really loved it, and I'm glad I got to meet you at Baltimore, and I'm looking forward to more of this stuff. Can't wait to see what you're going to do with this series.
Oh, thank you so much. It
really looks great. So all I can say is keep up the terrific stuff, and I look forward to getting on. Now that you're already successfully funded, see how much farther you can go before this is all done, because I think New and Improved is already there, has already arrived.
Awesome. Thank you.
I really appreciate it, Wayne.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
That's a wrap for this episode. Next time, it's episode 299, and the time after that, number 300. Be sure to be here and listen for what special events I have planned for that landmark episode.
But until then, keep reading your comics.